Continuing with St. Ephrem's prayer, we remember in the third verse, again, we say, Lord, grant me to see my own sins and not to judge my brother. And if you read the lives of the monastic saints, one of the most frequent admonitions is non-judgment, to judge no one, even if you see them sinning. And there is another one of these, an anonymous saint, a monk who lived in the desert. And one time, another monk from the monastery came to see him. And the monk in the desert asked, what about Father so-and-so? Is his reputation still as bad as it was? And the other monk said, yes, he's got a bad reputation. And this monk in the desert said, oh. And at that moment, he fell into ecstasy and had a vision. He had a vision of Christ crucified on Golgotha between the two thieves and angels ministering to him. And the monk went forward to worship. And instead, he heard the Savior say, cast him out, because he is an antichrist. He has judged this man before I have had the opportunity to judge him. And so the angels took away from the monk this robe, the riyasa, which the monks consider their protection from God. And in this vision, he was stripped of it simply because he went, ugh, thinking about the bad reputation of another monk. And when he came out of the vision, he told the monk he was speaking with, I've had a terrible day, and he explained what happened. And so he spent 7 years in the desert, seeing no one, no human being, praying, weeping, because he judged this brother. And it was only after 7 years that again he had a vision of Christ who restored to him this, the riyasa, the symbol of the monk's protection. And even the priests and the deacons wear this. So we see how serious it is to judge someone. It makes us an antichrist in the true sense of the word. For anti in Greek means in place of, instead of. We make ourselves someone in place of Christ. We usurp his throne as the king, and we sit there in judgment on someone else. And beloved, that does not go unnoticed by Christ, as this story of this sainted monk tells us. He sees, he knows, when we take his place, instead of looking to ourselves, looking to our own sins, because to judge is connected to pride, because it means I know better, that I'm qualified to know this person's life who I am judging. I'm qualified to judge them and their actions, as though I can see to the innermost core of their being, which we cannot. Only God can, because he made us. And it's only even he who can see the core of our own being. We can't even see the core of our own being, because we're creatures. But he made us, and he sees us. So this petition to let us see our own sins and not to judge our brothers is connected to the second. Grant me the spirit of chastity, humility, and patience. That it is humility that keeps us from pride. Humility that turns our eyes inward to see ourselves, to see Christ in us, to see where we need to repent, rather than finding it so easy for our eyes to wander, to see somebody else's sins, and take sinful comfort in the fact that we can think where their sins are worse than mine. Because that's a sin. Because again, that's judgment, that's pride. For us ever to think that someone else's sins are worse than ours. Which is why so often we say, God be merciful to me, the sinner, as though I am the only one, as though I'm the only sinner, and God let everyone else go into heaven before me. Let me be last, the last one. In front of everybody else, let everyone else go and let me be the last. So we pray that we can see our own sins in humility, because if our eyes are focused on our sins, it is utterly impossible for us to see someone else's, utterly impossible for us to judge someone else. And as Christ himself tells us, judge not, and you will not be judged. Forgive, and you will be forgiven.